Okay, this is going to be part B, I think, of the last. I want to call it an oddcast. I'm sorry, that's how I think about it. But voicemail cast that I sent. And some of this is just a matter of debugging what I said and maybe a little bit of how you might interpret it. Not that I detected any misinterpretations, but I want to make sure that I'm clear about some things. I'm going to divide it into two parts. I've made a little outline. It has two parts, and I don't know if you can hear all the background noise, but there are other people in the apartment, and they're having fun, and I can't block that noise out. The first is organizing by outline. For me, it's not just about writing. Outlining, for me, does rock at that. It's about how it structures what I'm already writing or what I finished writing. I think one of the reasons that outlining is hard to get is because we're taught terribly about it. We're taught that start with an outline. You make this outline, and that becomes the structure you do. I don't do that. I'm not that structured. And what I do is start with a kind of general outline in mind, and I might even have a whole bunch of categories and subcategories that I put into an outline, in an outliner, or in something that sucks as an outliner, like Word, and then I'll go ahead and start writing. But then what I do is I reorganize it as the thoughts become clear and start to cohere into different subcategories and topics and the rest of it. And what an outliner is great for is reorganizing that and helping me think through what I've got, what I missed, what needs to be expanded, what doesn't, all that kind of thing. And what I end up with has a structure. It's coherent and it's easily navigated. And a way of thinking about that is that the content creates the structure. So that's the first thing. The second thing is it's actually about the whole world. Outlining has been around since the Torah was written and the Christian Bible, Hebraic and Babylonian and Roman law. These were all organized very much as outlines, chapters, sections, you know, categories. People are categorizing creatures. We think in boxes. We think in frames. That's one of the things that George Lakoff teaches in cognitive linguistics. We think not only metaphorically, we tend to organize things by what he calls frames. And we see this in a way works are classified in libraries. And whether you're using the Dewey Decimal System or the Library of Congress system or some other system, there are ways that these things are organized. And even when we developed computing as we know it today, which really inherits the Unix directory system, which in the graphic form we call files in folders and folders within folders, and on the web within those folders, the folders themselves, and the files within the folders, we call addresses. And we use URLs for those, universal resource locators. We locate them by navigating down through outlines or searching through them. And I'm working for my own outline here, and I just made a side note that I broke all that in one long sentence using the command R thing that you invented just a few days ago. It's very cool and fast and wonderful, and I thank you for that. And that's great. See, that's one of the ways that it works. Like, wait a minute, I'm going to break this point in two. These are two subpoints, and I can expand on them, or I might not expand on them. Or what I used to do with more, and you could do it with Word as well, is suddenly I'll take these three sub-things that I said and turn them into a numbers. There's not a way to do that yet, and there may never be, as far as I know, within Little Outliner. I don't think that's within your ambitions for Little Outliner. I think it needs to stay little by not being complicated in a formatting way. But the fact that I could break up a sentence into a series of topics and or take a couple and pull them back together, rejoin them, you know, by hitting, I think it's Command Backspace. I haven't used that one yet, but I can. So, but my point is that the world, in fact, is outlined. We tend to want to outline the world. But also the web, in spite of the fact that it inherits a directory structure, is a mess. That's why search engines are the genius that they were. What a search engine says, what Google said, but others before it, Hotbot and AltaVista and the rest of them did, was say, this is a haystack. It's not organized as a directory. In fact, remember, that's what Yahoo wanted to do. They wanted to organize it as like a library. And it was a great big failure. You know, they're going to have the encyclopedians come in, like the ones in the Foundation trilogy, and make sense of the whole thing. But instead, it turned out to be extremely messy within the directory structure itself. So what Google does and what other search engines do is take the haystack and index it. And they have an index you can't see, and you search it and it just comes out with results. That's what happens. It's not like we go to the card catalog and look through categorically and alphabetically. That was the old card catalog way. It's done the way things are done even in libraries. When you go to the card catalog, which is now on a computer, and you search through it like you would through Google. And in fact, I think the software that's used is whatever it was that Doug Cutting invented, Nutch or something like that, that everybody used. I remember when Technorati picked up on it and a bunch of other things picked up on it. It was really brilliant and simple. It became done work to be able to search, to make a haystack and an index of a haystack and search through the index or whatever it was. But to be able to search through something complex like that and make not so much sense of the whole thing, but to be able to find single things within that, which in a way caused us to lose our orientation toward that as a directory structure. And so what we've done with our lives is by relying on these secondary, I'm not sure what the right word is, but these ways that are not directory-like, that are not outline-like, to understand something that is inherently outlined, has violated our sense of what an outline is and how we can organize the world as an outline. And it's really helpful, and I'd like to throw a big word in here for what David Weinberger has been writing for the last 20 years. You know, small things loosely joined, everything is miscellaneous, too big to know, and now his latest, which, damn it, I left in at the other end of the country, but it expands on the same point. I'd love him to collect those into an anthology because it's all brilliant stuff. It's brilliant stuff. He really gets what's going on here. We ought to get him in on this too, maybe, if he's up for it. I don't know if he is or not. But he's thought about it so much, and he's highlighted how knowledge works, how the room knows more than any single person in the room knows. Jay Rosen just wrote an interesting piece about that, about wicked problems in PressThink, his blog, and how wicked problems are much different than the obvious problems. And you need multiple disciplines to come in on it, but mostly you need a lot of people to help you out with it, because you get not just a lot of different points of view. You collect information from lots of different places. And I could digress on that a lot. My own feeling about it is that for journalism, the only journalism that can't be fake is local. And that's what my TED Talk was about, which has had, I think, maybe 45 or 50 people watch it so far. I don't think anybody got it. It wasn't a great TED Talk. I had to memorize it. And because I had to memorize it, I had to deliver it slowly. I'd never memorized a damn thing in my life on purpose anyway. I've memorized some things just because I couldn't help memorizing them, like lyrics to songs or passages of Whitman or other poets, but I, you know, or a Shakespeare sonnet or something like that, but not 10 or 12 minutes of a talk. And so I went slowly through it, but that was my point. And that's part of what I think we're going to have to do here to make sense of things. Anyway, that was a big digression and I didn't want to go into, but I wanted to make the point that the world, we want to outline the world, and with the web we created something and ways of understanding that something that are absolutely chaotic. So I think, but I don't know, that my current problem is just sitting here looking around my desk and looking around my life may or may not be relevant to what you're working on. And I want to pull those apart because I don't want you to waste your time on trying to generalize something that is exclusive just to me, or exclusive to too few people who are like me, or maybe like me and you. So I'd used the word generalize several times in my last podcast, and I realized in listening to it that I didn't make clear enough that I was talking about generalizing your development from my singular experience and my singular ways of working. So I want to go a little bit more deep into how I do the two things that are the biggest parts of my life online, and just explore those a bit, or explain them to you so you can get your head around them. The first is photography. I don't think most people know how I work with photography, so I'll explain it. This is almost as big as writing in my life. It's not as big as writing in the sense that I can live without it. I won't live well because I love it and I rely on it in a lot of ways, but I could live without it, and that's on the table. The other thing about it is that it's massive. My collection of 75,000 plus photos on Flickr get up to and even over 12,000 visits a day. I think I've had maybe 15 million visits to that one of the collections alone. I may have more photos in Wikipedia than anybody. There's no way to count them on Wikipedia. There is on Wikimedia Commons. I think there are over 1,500 on Wikimedia Commons. But many of those appear in multiple articles within Wikipedia and in multiple languages in Wikipedia, meaning there are thousands of my photos in Wikipedia. I put none of them there. I didn't do any of that work. Other people did all that work. All my photos are licensed for easy reuse, and others found them somewhere, put them on Flickr and or in Wikimedia Commons, and reused them in Wikipedia. And I don't think there are many or any other people doing that, what I do with that. And I think I may be the only person on Earth who does photography the way I do, and for the reasons I do. If you look at my albums on Flickr, and I just put together one collection, I don't know if it worked or not, you'll see what I actually do, which is I shoot a lot of things in the world, especially from airplanes. A lot of it is geology, a lot of it is geography, and I tag them. I tag them aggressively, many, many different topics, and that's what makes them so easy to find. And I don't do it for the art of it. I think there's art to it, but I don't see my photos as art in particular. I think some of them are artistic, but there are so many freaking good photographers in the world. I don't think the world needs what I do with photography, but I think it helps. All my photos are not done for me either. They're done for the world. I do them so they do appear in Wikipedia. In fact, the fact that they do appear in Wikipedia is one of the things that encourages that. I know most of them will not, because I shoot just a shitload of them, but a lot of them do, and I think that's a helpful thing. Now, what I do is not only unique to me, it is very anachronistic in this sense. Photography has changed. What the web and platforms such as Instagram and Flickr and SmugMug and all the rest of them have done to photography, and the ease with which we can shoot photographs, and for that matter videos, with our phones, has made it essentially disposable. Photography is an accessory to texting. It's an accessory to just being social with each other. And most young people especially, but people of all ages really, regard photography with their portable devices as something that's temporary, social, and of the moment. It's not something meant to be put in an album and stored for future looking through or use. And where they are saved, on the web and in places like Flickr and SmugMug and the rest of them, is also temporary and very dependent on those platforms and on playing those platforms. Whether you're putting it on Flickr or SmugMug or AWS, as soon as you stop paying for them, they are gone, and they don't even leave a greasy spot. I have photos going back to the 1860s because people saved them. You know, generations before me saved those photos, and I've put them online, a lot of them. Anyway, photography has changed, and my point about that is it may go back to being archival again, but it is inherently anachronistic. And the way I do it is also anachronistic because I shoot digitally now. I don't shoot film. And I don't print anything. So now I want to go into how I organize them. With that sort of preamble, how do I organize them? Because it's a big part of my life, it is the only part of my life that I actually do organize. And I organize them, no surprise, in an outline. And there's a method I have for this. And I put it in the outline that goes along with what I'm saying. And it is arcane enough that I won't explain it here. I think it gets explained well enough there. If I explain it here, nobody's going to follow it anyway. The main point I make with it, however, is that I depend on a deprecated program. It's either Microsoft Expressions or one called Phase 1 Media Pro. Both of them are the second and third generations of something called iView Media Pro. iView was bought by Microsoft. Microsoft abandoned Expressions. They originally intended to compete with Adobe with it. They never did. Never showed much interest in it. Phase 1 picked it up. They made a new version of it that's essentially the same, called Media Pro. It has a different file suffix, so I don't use it. One is .ivc. That's the iView one that Microsoft also used. The other one is called .catalog. I don't like that. It's too long. And I like the way that Microsoft Expressions worked. They stopped developing it in 2010, okay, like 10 years ago. And for my purposes, it is perfect. I take the photos off of my camera, or I suck them out of my phone using an Apple tool that nobody knows about called Image something. Let's see, Image Capture. Okay, Image Capture. Not photos. I don't use photos. I hate photos, which used to be iPhoto. I use Image Capture. And Image Capture allows me to go straight out of the phone into a directory, into a folder in my computer. And with Expressions or iView, I put them in a catalog, a visual catalog, and then I rename them. And I rename them by the same name that I give to the folder. And the folder has a convention that I use that goes year, month, day, and then the subject. And those go into an outline of that goes year, month, day, you know, and that outline goes back to 1860-something. And that's my outline. And flowing into that outline from photos through Expressions is how I work. And the problem with this, there are two problems. One is that, as what happened with Moore, Apple changed the operating system with Catalina, which is 64-bit. It won't run Expressions or Media Pro. Phase 1 has no or very limited interest. I've talked with them a bunch about it. I'm a market of one, and they're not very interested in helping me out. So it's over. I mean, if I ever go to Catalina, which Apple tells me every day I need to do, and I do it by mistake, I'm going to lose this. And that is a problem. In fact, it's a big enough problem that I may just give up doing photography. I'm not kidding. I may just stop because my way of working just isn't there anymore. It's like, hey, I used a quill pen and typewriters came along and I'm just not going to do it anymore. You know, it's kind of like that. Or maybe it's like, you know, I'm using a regular keyboard and everybody's going Dvorak. I don't want to rememorize that. I'm not going to do it. And I'm an old man that way. I'm just, you know, I have a way of working and I like it a lot. And it works very well with the way I do photography. And it's gone. So that's the first problem. The second problem is storage. And it's relevant to AWS. And I wanted to use AWS. And I wanted to flag that. I have probably about 6 terabytes of photos. I have a 2 terabyte internal drive in the computer I'm talking to right now. And I have a 5 terabyte external drive, and both are almost filled up. And I back them both up, but there's no coherent way to pull the two together, and I haven't figured it out yet. I'd love to store them in the cloud, but I live in two places where the upstream speed is between 10 and 30 megabits a second, and I have these many terabytes. I'm not going to be able to do it very easily. And, of course, there are data limits on both of these places. I think more Santa Barbara than here in New York. I don't think there's one here in New York, but they may freak out. I don't know. But at 10 megabits per second upstream, it's going to take me forever to put that in AWS or something. I don't even know what that's going to cost. Yeah, so if I look at using the cloud, you know, my writing environment here, and here's how I work overall. I'm looking at my outline here. Writing environment, creative environment, and storage, and generalizing for myself. My writing environment is a lot like the photo environment. I actually do organize it in somewhat the same way with the year, month, day subject convention and with underbars between the your month day and then a hyphen to the subject and hyphens between subjects that require more than one word. And that's why in Little Outliner, all of the outlines that I have are named that way. I name them, you suggested I make them shorter. Well, I think, and I organize with these long file names so I can find them later and find them on my computer. And that's another thing. I tend to work a lot on the computer and not on the web. So I don't know how to, I'm trying to imagine how Little Outliner is going to work for me as somebody who tends to write a lot off the web and not in a browser. So I don't have any finished thoughts about that, but I'm just sort of sharing those. You know, and again, my creative environment and storage are really right now a fucking mess because I write a lot online and off. And in spite of the organization I do have, it's pretty much a mess because a lot of it is nothing to do with either writing or photography. I'm backed up on and I've offloaded an awful lot of stuff to living and dead external drives. And I've never had enough onboard and attached storage on my laptops to handle all the folders and files in my life. The immediate problem I have is photography for the reasons I just gave. But I'm not sure I see cloud as a solution to that, you know, because I'm afraid of it. I'm afraid of what happens when I stop paying or I die or I become incapacitated and, you know, others don't give a shit and they don't pay the bills and it's gone. And again, it doesn't even leave a greasy spot. So that's a concern for me, you know. So again, I'm just sort of sharing that about what I've worked out over my life is the things that are working and the things that used to work and the things that might work and how I think. And I'm not saying it's right. It's just what has worked for me. And I can change. I'm an old dog that can learn some new tricks, but I'm mostly interested in tricks that are going to work for me. So anyway, and they may not be ones for everybody. And so the last section is generalizing for myself. And I've written a lot about this. We're all different. Every one of us is different. There's a whole lot of stuff that's typical to everybody. We're all speaking English here, I hope, that are listening to this and they know what I'm saying. That's something we have in common. But we all look and sound different for a reason, and it's so we can tell each other apart, and we are all special cases in lots of ways. And I have real concerns about whether or not outlining will ever work for anybody. You know, I think you're on the only track that I'm sure will work, and I want to make this clear. I think coming up with the writer's web that works in an outliney way, using tools that you're creating that are easy for people to use, where they can go, blah, like that person in Twitter said, it's a good thing, and that's the way I blogged on my old original Frontier-based blog. It was like tweeting, only much better. But I think that's a really great direction to go, because I think that's a huge, that brings us back to the web that we wanted in the first place, the one we had in the first place. That was so simple. I mean, you know, and I could point to it, you know, Reality 2.0 was my DaveNet. I patterned it after DaveNet, and I'll put that in the outline, I think. It's still there. It's at searles.com/r2.html. So in case I forget to put it in the outline, that's where it is. And I stopped it many years ago, but still you can see what it was. It's an outline too. But all of that stuff was written in HTML. Everything I wrote for Linux Journal, I wrote with a simple HTML editor. That's what I did. By the way, nobody makes that anymore either. All the HTML editors you could find from, you know, Dreamweaver and some of the others. I think Dreamweaver is the only one of any substance that's left. It's way too complicated and doesn't have the simple text editing facilities that some of the earlier ones, like Go Live, had. Go Live? It was Go Live. Go something. That Adobe bought and killed. You know, because they also bought Dreamweaver. And they should have kept the other one, but they kept Dreamweaver, which sucks. Maybe it doesn't suck anymore. I'm not buying the latest version of Adobe's Creative Suite because I don't like the bundle. I actually did a trial on it, and at the end of the trial, I couldn't get my computer to prefer it over the prior version of Creative Suite. So I'm just stuck with it. I'm working with it. But anyway, my point there was that what was so simple and clear and easy about the web in the first place is where we can go back to, or something like it, where we're all storing stuff on AWS or someplace, but where we're, you know, we're able to blog the right way, to write the right way, and in a distributed way. That's I think where we're heading with this, and I think there's some things about the way I work that are relevant, but I also want to make clear that there's a whole lot of stuff that very likely is not. Okay, that's enough.